Corinthians 4, we're going to begin at the 16th verse. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And back to the 16th verse. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I want to share with everyone this morning, strength to endure. Strength to endure. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor this morning. Now, Father, my prayer is that you'll pour into us, Lord. Let your word fall on good ground. Let it fall on been good, fertile land in our hearts, Lord. Lord, let it blossom. Let it grow to make us mature Christians in you, Lord. God, those aren't able to endure and to stand with the things that are coming upon this world, Lord, that we can continue to proclaim you to be King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord. Bless us as we go through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Job 14:1 states, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's what Job 14:1 say. I was laughing to say, man is born of woman. He said, not because of a woman that you had trouble, but be born of a woman and trouble and the trouble that you have. But nevertheless, trouble, heartache, hardships, things that we endure, we face from time to time. Don't get me wrong, life brings a lot of great joys, like the birth of children. Never forget the birth of my children, just being able to go into that room, seeing Caleb, Bethany, and Emily, and the joy that it brought into my heart. Or being married, you find someone that you love, and you give your life for each other together forever, and that brings about joy in life. Or maybe it's the first home that you buy, or after you finish school, you finally get your degree, and you're going to get that job you always dream of. I'm telling you, life brings about a bunch of joys and happiness and things to celebrate, but life also brings other things as well. Sometimes you have difficulties in marriage. The one that you thought you would be in love with forever, the love slowly draws cold, or your disappointment, all of the effort and the love and which you trained your children to be in most situations, and they stray away and walk away from the Lord. Then there's failures. Things that pop up where you just don't succeed in. Things that were supposed to go certain ways and they don't go that way. And things just don't go right. And by the way, some things just don't go right for Christians. If everybody bear witness with me, raise their hand as a believer. However, we are supposed to overcome. That's in our DNA. We're supposed to overcome in the midst of these tests and these trials. We look to Hebrews 11. Starting at the 36th verse, and it talks about those that overcome, came. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, but God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We have all of these examples. We have Jesus, the chief example of someone who endured, but yet still, at the end of the day, out of all of this encouragement, we still have issues enduring. Some people with the cares and the trials of life are ready to throw in the towel and say, I give up. I can't do this Jesus thing anymore. I can't do this walk with Christ anymore. I don't see the progressions. I'm not making it further. I can't go on because guess what? No matter how much I pray, I fast and I tell others to pray. My children are still on drugs and they are not saved. No matter how many times I pray and cry out to the Lord, that hasn't stopped my wife or my husband from cheating on me. I'm at my last in? What can I do to endure this? Because right now it's looking bleak. How can I grab it? I hear what you're saying, Pastor Tony. I hear what the evangelists say. I hear all of these other things, but I don't think I can make it. But if anybody knows about make it and pressing through that we can grab hold of, that is a visual example for us, that's Brother Paul. And if you don't think Paul went through some things, let me give you his bio right quick. He was stoned and left for dead, beaten with rods 3 times, whipped with 39 lashes 5 times, about 195 times. He was attacked by an angry mob, had many death threats. But Paul's response to all of these things was in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. No complaining, no nagging, no turning up his nose, but letting everyone know if you want to live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. And that wasn't the end. He was shipwrecked 3 times and floated for over 24 hours. He was criticized and despised by other believers. Other Christians hated him, despised him. He was under arrest for 2 years without having a trial. And if things couldn't get worse, a snake grabbed hold of him, a viper bit him. Just when you think it couldn't get no worse, a snake hopped up the fire and latched hold to his hand and bit him. And his response to that was in 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Endure hardships with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if there's anybody who can talk about endurance, if there's anyone who can talk about the strength to maintain and to continue to go on, that's the Apostle Paul. And we can have that with them. Sometimes people feel, and it's not, I don't believe it, but people feel like, well, Jesus is Jesus. He's God's son. He endured and did everything, even though that was a miraculous event. And he did that as humanity. But when you look at somebody that sometimes you could connect with, Paul is that person because he went through. And that's not even talking about the thorn in his flesh, the other situation that he had going on. And they said he prayed 3 times. Pray 3 times to the Lord for that thing to be removed. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Because in your weakness, that's when you're strong. So Paul had all of these things going on. And the 16th through the 18th verse is encouraging us and tell us what to do as we go on in the Lord. How to endure as believers. How to go through in life and maintain our walk with the Lord. And the first thing he kicks off saying is 16th verse, the A part of that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. First point in endurance and having strength to endure is to make sure that we don't give up. We don't give up. We do not give up. We don't throw our hands up and walk away. We don't put our head in the sand and act like things are not going on around with us. No, as believers, we don't give up. We don't lose heart. Verse 1 is a term. Lose heart is a Greek term. It means to abandon oneself, to cowardly surrender, to give up, to faint. That's what it means, to just disappear from yourself. Losing heart in this walk of life, losing heart in the midst of the battle is pretty much saying, I give up, I wave the white flag, that's it. Who cares? But the Apostle Paul is telling us not to lose heart. So he's closing out that 4th chapter saying, don't go and hide. Don't stop praying and fasting. Don't stop sharing the gospel. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop doing the things that he's commissioned and command you to do. Don't lose heart. Don't start putting the covers over your head and not wanting to get out of bed and closing the blinds and having pity parties. Don't give in to the pressures and stop believing God and allowing Satan to come in with other things to keep us astray or keep us moving forward. Don't lose heart. Acts 20:23 through 24 states, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that the chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul knew these things was waiting him as he went from city to city. When he turned his head around, he knew chains. He knew abandonment. He knew persecution was facing his, it's coming his way. But he said those things did not move him. As we go through life, as we have these trials and tribulations coming for us, because we know we got things going through. I'm going through something right now that I know is coming up in my life, but I have to be ready for it. I have to look at it and give God the glory because I got something bigger at hand. I have the Lord ministry at hand. You all are vessels of God. Paul talked a little bit about that earlier in that fourth chapter, talking about vessels of earthen vessels made out of clay, but yet it's what's on the inside of us that he wants to produce out. And right at the time when you're getting ready to give up or surrender or turn your back, your ministry is being effective. You have souls and people waiting to hear the gospel from you. You have sick people that are waiting to be prayed for by you. You have individuals out in a dying, lost world, don't know anything about Jesus Christ, and they're waiting for you, that divine appointment to meet them and how the Lord sets it up. We cannot lose heart. It is too late in the game. We're too close to the finish line. We're coming around, and we can't lose it. We can't allow for our flesh to override and kick in. You see, when we begin to lose heart, it's because of circumstances. And sometimes those circumstances, if we're not losing heart and keeping our faith in Christ, it begins to get bitter in our lives. So those things that the Lord has placed there to teach us, to develop us, to make us, it turns around, it becomes a bitterment in our spirits. And we feel justified to go and do things opposite of the will of God. As we're going through our burdens and our tests and our trials, we feel justified to get involved with vices that the Lord has delivered us from. And he set us free from, to go back to get relief. We tend to draw ourselves to ungodly relationships. And we feel we have a right to get satisfaction for ourselves to get us through the problem. Or we let anger, rage, and move in our hearts, causing us not to forgive or not to love and to be mad at every hand. When we lose heart, we allow the devil to have ground roads in our lives. And once he gets those ground roads, once he takes those things and takes us to areas we never thought we'll go in, we'll see at the end that we are lost. When we lose heart, we allow revenge and different other fleshless, undesirable things come up to keep us from getting back to the Father. When we lose heart, when we choose to give up, when we choose to throw in the towel, we're basically saying that is it. And then Satan begins to do his work. Yeah, we find justified to, you know what? I'm going to tell you just how I feel today. And what I'm going to say ain't going to be very scriptural. It's going to be some four-letter adjectives along with that. That's the way we feel, and anger takes our heart. And you know what's so funny? I'm learning about anger even with myself is really what I'm getting upset about ain't about nothing. It's about a bunch of pride. It's about a bunch of ego. It's about a bunch of fleshly things to make me feel better. So I'm going to tell you all, I'm going to tell you like it is just so I can bring praise and glory to myself. Quite backwards for a believer. That's why it's important that we don't lose heart, that we continue to pursue, that we hold on in spite of, that we continue to call out to the name of the Lord because he will deliver you. So we don't stop praying. We don't stop getting into the word. We don't stop coming to church and worshiping with other brothers and sisters because we know that's the encouragement piece. It's a blessing when I could come in on Wednesday night service and see people here out pressing their way saying, I just thank the Lord, hard day at work, but I'm happy to be here. Man, what of encouragement. Or even on Sundays when I knew people had a rough day. They called me. We prayed during the week, and they show up. And it's just an encouragement to allow me to continue to press on and to move on. That's what the believers do for each other. That's what the fire does. It burns in one person, then it jumps off and hop onto another person, and you continue to have the strength. You continue to have the desire and the power to continue to fight and endure. Allowing God to do that in our lives. We can't lose heart. We can't give up. Sometimes, even now, let's be real about this. We look around the church, we see seats empty, and some people get discouraged because of that, and I don't. Because God is still who he is. And God is able to pack it out, and God is able to dwindle it down, because God knows exactly what he's doing. So we cannot lose heart. South Suburban, I know there's some people in here that's been battling hard, been going through rough things, things you thought you couldn't even overcome. But I want to tell you not to lose heart, not to give up. Continue to hold on. The next point is allow the process of dying to take place. Allow the process of dying to take place. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise God. Even though our outward man is just perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Paul knew, and it's natural, that the outward body deteriorates. As we grow older, we start losing things. I used to have hair. I love my daughter. She saw a picture of me. I used to have, you know, waves. Waves make you seasick. I used to brush them. Used to brush them down, throw little Murrays in there on a do-rag. Man, it was tight back in the day. You know, but Emily saw a picture. Was like, you had hair? I said, yes, I had hair. Before I had you, I had hair. But as we grow older, we start losing things. Hair falls out. We lose teeth. Say amen if you got dentures, it's okay. Legs get sore. All of these things happen. But it's a constant reminder that things deteriorate, things leave, and there's a natural death with that. But it's also a reminder to us that there's a spiritual death that needs to take place. There's a fleshly death that needs to take place in our lives. Galatians 5:24 states, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Mark 8:35 states, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In order for us to endure, to continue to operate, continue to function, to continue to move forward in the things of God in this life, we have to die to ourselves. We have to let this thing go, this thing that we cherish so much, and all the fleshly realms, as Brother Steve was talking about. There's some things in our life that just have to go. The pride, our ego, our lust. Those are things we must get rid of in order to endure, because those are the things, the fleshly realm, the lust, the pride, the ego, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. All of these things, they become stumbling blocks at our walk with Christ. As we're trying to endure, as we're trying to climb, as long as that flesh is still having those ungodly desires and we're giving in to those ungodly desires, we will not make any progress. Some people wonder why we're not maturing as Christians, or why I'm not growing stronger in my faith. It's because you have not let Egypt go totally out of your system. You're still craving for the onions and the good fruit. And from time to time, you go sneak over into the garden and begin to pick some of those things just to satisfy those desires. But if we don't die to ourselves, we will never endure. Even in the natural, if somebody's training, if somebody's going working out, if you're playing sports, whatever you're doing in school, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a giving up of something. There has to be a letting go of things so you can further and improve in whatever you do. And just like your walk with Christ, if you want to endure for the Father, if you want to endure to the end, the flesh must die. We have to crucify it. We can't cast it out. We can't talk about it. No, we have to crucify the flesh. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to have his free reign in our lives and let him lead us and guide us into all truths. And we have to listen and obey the Holy Spirit. Man, I told you, Brother George ripped it up yesterday. I mean, he tore it up. I should have thrown my offering or something. Man, he tore it up yesterday. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we allow the Holy Spirit to have his complete work in our lives. But what happens is, when that battle arises with the flesh and the spirit, we begin to tiptoe over to the flesh side. We feel like the flesh is Mike Tyson or somebody. Be like, no, I ain't about to wrestle with this one today, so I'm going to give in. Give in, and even though I know I shouldn't be calling him or her, but I'm going to pick up the phone and just see how they doing. Or maybe I shouldn't take a sip of this right now. I know my battle. I know my fight with this alcohol, but I think a little something for the stomach's sake, I'll be cool. And as we continue to endure with the things of the flesh, and we continue to give all of our attention to the things of the flesh, and we continue to build up the flesh, what we're doing is creating a monster that we have no control over. A monster that is big and ugly and disgusting. And what we're doing is just patting it on the head saying, good boy. And it's growing bigger and bigger and outrageous. And we have no control over it. That's why the flesh must die. When we die, it produces strength. When the flesh die, it produces maturity. When the flesh die, it produces growth. Romans 8. 13 through 14 states, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, what's growing on the inside is more important than anything else. Even though Paul was going through tribulations, he was spending his natural death through a death process. Pretty much, Paul's death rate increased. Because you keep getting beat, you keep getting starved, you keep getting stoned to death, you keep being thrown into prison. Guess what? Your life expectancy began to shrink down. But it was the inward man that was growing. In the midst of all of the hardship and the heartaches, it was what's on the inside that counted. We got to continue to go in with the Lord. We got to continue to allow that flesh to die. We let it go. We got to continue to let the Lord have this perfect work in our hearts and continue to let the flesh die. It must die in our lives. If we want to endure, we have to lay aside every sin, every weight that so easily besets us. If we want to endure, we have to grab hold unto the Lord, who is able to do more exceedingly and impossible than anything we could ever think or see or imagine. We have to grab hold of the Lord and let those things go that are of the flesh. We must die. Going into the 17th verse, the next one is we need to understand in order to endure that our troubles are minor. Our troubles are minor. I know people looking at you saying, no, what I'm going through ain't minor, brother. But our troubles are minor. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light afflictions. This man was beaten, stoned, despised, talked about. And he can say that our light afflictions. What are the light afflictions? The Greek word that means it's less than nothing. It's a light, small thing. Paul had issues, major issues that were unbearable, unresolvable, and couldn't bring about no completion at all. When you look at what he was going through and what he was dealing with, but yet he called it a light affliction. Nothing. Nothing at all. And sometimes we step back and we begin to look at our problems and we begin to look at our situations. We begin to see them by faith in a different light. We begin to look and see, wow, I thought this was going to take me over, but it's not. I thought this was going to be the end of me, but it's not. The troubles become minor, and it helps us to endure. And it helps us to endure because of faith, because faith we can relate it to and compare it to the eternal glory to come. See, we can have a comparison of our temporal trials to our everlasting eternal glory that we will see. We can compare the light afflictions to the heaviness of his glory, the heaviness of who he is. We can look at the trials and the tribulations that are working against us, but through faith, we can see that they're really working for us. That's how you endure, when you can look at your problem and say, you know what, this might not feel good, like Joseph said. It might not look good or be good, but it's working for my good. This problem that I'm facing is working for me, and only a God can do that for us. Only a God can bless us with that grace and can turn around something ugly and horrible and turn it around to a blessing that God is working for our good. Think about your darkest problem. Think about your hardest heartache. Think about what you're going through and how God can take that snapshot in your life and turn it around and bring about glory to it. The everlasting eternal glory. That's what God can do. We can't compare right now to the future glory that we have. That's why we live day by day. That's why we live, take one day at a time. That's why the just shall live by faith. We have to live by faith. We have to tap into that thing which is not seen. We have to tap into that hope, which is hope that we can have. Even though we don't have it now, we have that glorious hope. We have to grab hold of those things because those things will take us further. The faith of God provides that. The faith of God gives that to us. Romans 8 and 18 states, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The glory which will be revealed in us. There's going to be that great day when we see the Lord face to face, and all of those trials, all the tribulations, everything we went through, it would make sense. And the weight of that glory is going to overshadow and overtake every situation, every matter, every care that we've been through. Basically, we're living to live again. We are focusing on his glory. And that's the next point, focus on glory, the 18th verse, praise God. And it reads, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." They're everlasting. And this is not escapism. Some people like to argue and debate with believers and say, hey, I'm looking to glory, looking forward to when the Lord is coming back. That's just escapism. That's weakness. No, that's how we keep our sanity. I choose to believe in a real Christ and a real God who has proven himself over and over and over again. The ability to look beyond the physical. That's why I'm not moved when I see certain things. When I see the things that's going on in my family with my brothers and my sisters, I look beyond that. I look in the spirit, and it causes me to pray. It causes me to call out to the Lord. It gives me hope and strength that there is hope and there's an opportunity for everyone. That's why we don't stop praying. That's why we don't stop witnessing. That's why we don't stop loving, because we look beyond the physical and we look to the spirit, because we know the spirit is more real than the physical. The spirit is what counts. That fleshly bones and this flesh and muscle, all this stuff is going to go away, but our spirit man will live forever. That's why I choose to look beyond the present and look to the future. That's why I choose to live beyond the temporal. And not be involved with the temporal. Don't get me wrong. It's temporal things that we have. Houses, cars, and stuff. We know that we need. But I don't put no stock in anything in this world that is temporal. My mother used to tell me, that's so funny, had a family member that was, you know, had a nice house. They thought they were all that. Excuse me for a minute. Woo, that last one got me. Oh, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Yeah, so we had a family member that had a beautiful home and everything. And my mama often said, a fire will come in here and destroy all of this in 3 minutes. It's not about nothing. It's not the stock and the things that we put way in. It's a beautiful thing to have the education. It's a beautiful thing to have those status things, but that don't make us. What profit a man if he gained the whole wide world but loses his soul? So we look past the temporal. These things don't make us as believers. It don't make us because we're driving the latest, fancy, baddest car. It don't make us because we have all the top name brands and fashion clothes and anything. That don't make us. We glorify God if we're able to get those things. We magnify him. But that is not the making point. The making breaking point is your heart right with the Lord. Have you accepted him as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you going after him despite everything, despite the world, despite the ridicule? Are you pressing after Jesus? Are you going after him? We look past the temporal and we look to the future. We look to those things that are coming. I love Colossians, I think it's 3:2-3, and it states, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If we're able to endure, we got to go beyond and focus on glory and set our mind on glory. That's what we're working for. Everything we do is bringing God the glory. Every sermon, every song, every outreach event, it is all to bring God glory. We're setting our mind on heavenly things because Christ died for us and we're hidden in him. Jesus came here, made himself of no reputation. He went to the people who are sick and he began to heal. He began to deliver. He began to set free. And that's what we're in. We're died in Christ. We died in Christ and we're out doing the same things. A lot of people are giving up and throwing in the towel because they're not focusing on the glory. They're not focusing in on God and who he is and what this life is about. You want to know what your purpose is here for in life? To bring glory to the Father. To bring glory to God. He wants to get the glory out of your life. No matter how old you are or how young you are, he wants to get the glory out of your life. And he's going to get that glory one way or another. At the end, we all going to bow anyway, so we might as well bow now to Jesus. Abraham chose to look at a heavenly city. He chose to look beyond what he saw, so he separated himself from Sodom. But Lot chose to look at what he saw in front of him. Lot chose to walk by sight and not by faith. He chose to take the goods and the delicacies of this world and engage in them and not look for the eternal. I want to be like Abraham. I want to look towards that eternal city. I want to put my faith in a proper place that I can endure and continue to run on. And Abraham had his faults. He was a liar. Said Sarah was his sister, and he was like, he sort of lied and all that type of stuff. But yet still, he looked towards the heavenly city. And he separated himself. And that's what we have to do. We have to separate ourselves if we want to endure. We have to leave the world to the right. We can't be unequally yoked. I read an interesting thing about being unequally yoked. It's like when two oxen was put together and one might be bigger and the other might be smaller. And it would go around in a circle and it just make everything uneven. You wouldn't get any progress. So we leave all those stuff aside and let it go. And we choose to focus on the heavenly city like Abraham. Earthly suffering produces growth. Ended off with this scripture, Revelations 21:3-5. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among man, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. I love the fourth verse. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer be any death. There will be no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. We have an expectation as we endure. We have an expectation. We're looking forward to something. Turning our back on this world, turning our back on these things. I know young people, you feel like, man, I can't do nothing. I'm giving up all this time. Even old people too. I'm not going to say young people, but older people too. I'm not enjoying life. What is this thing about Christianity, about dying and giving up? Well, we have something eternal to look forward to. Glory. We will see the Father as we continue to endurance. See, we're not running, and we're not in this race for a Cupid doll. We're not trying to get a broken up toy or something like that that we'll throw in the attic and leave away. But no, we have something that's eternal that we're looking forward to. So understand the cause as we're running, as we're going after the Lord, that we have something so much greater, so much important that we're going and holding on to. Our lives and our value of our lives are not based on what's temporal. The value of our lives and what we desire, what we need to really have, is based on the eternal. Our lives is based on the eternal. The endurance is based on the eternal. The continuing to go in after the Lord and pray and hold on when people ridicule and talk about us is all about the eternal. Be encouraged and hold on to the things of God. And don't lose heart. If we don't lose heart, if we focus on glory, if we die to ourselves, we will have the endurance to win and continue to go on in the things of God. Let us stand to our feet this morning.